Radio Prague News.
Prosecutors from Uzki nad Labem have transferred the case against former governor David Rath to the region of central Bohemia. Patients awaiting surgery at Czech hospitals can now opt for specialists of their choice. Czech Foreign Minister Karel Schwarzenberg has presented 12 people with the Gratias Agate Award. Prosecutors from Uzki nad Labem transferred the case against former governor David Rath, remanded in custody over suspected corruption, to the region of central Bohemia on Friday. It is there, in the town of Rudna, that Mr. Rath is suspected of having accepted a bribe related to a corrupt tender and the planned renovation of Bushkihrad Castle. News website TDN reports that supervision of the case has been taken over by Petr Jirat, an expert in economic corruption at the prosecutor's office. The Social Democrat MP and former governor David Rath was arrested in mid-May with 7 million crowns on his person. 8 others were also charged in the case. Police wiretaps, a small part of which were published by the press on Friday, showed Mr. Rath and a colleague expressing glee over illicit funds. Patients awaiting surgery or other care in Czech hospitals will be able to opt for surgeons or specialists of their choice by paying a fee between 5 and 15,000 crowns as of Friday. Facilities, however, will still have to provide top-quality services, even for those who opt out. In Prague, the Royal Vinohrady Teaching Hospital is one of the facilities providing the service, but not all facilities will. Czech Foreign Minister Karel Schwarzenberg on Friday presented 12 laureates with the Gratias Agate Award for promoting the good name of the Czech Republic abroad. Among those awarded this year are former figure skating champion Aya Vrzáňová, UK-based architect Eva Jiřičná, and composer Antonín Tučapský. 3 foreign nationals were also recognizing, among them Nazmi Akiman of Turkey, a former diplomat who is now the chairman of the Czech-Turkish Business Council. Traffic and public transport at Prague's Letná will see restrictions beginning on Saturday as major road, tram line and sidewalk repairs get underway. Letná Tunnel will be closed to motorists for a number of weeks. The extensive renovation project as a whole will continue through the summer holidays. Chile's president, Sebastián Piñera, has been sent a ceremonial pen to replace one infamously pocketed by the Czech head of state last year. Video of President Václav Klaus and the curious manner in which he took the pen while Mr. Piñera was speaking in Chile last year went viral on the internet. The sending of the replacement pen was Euro MP Edvard Kosuchnik's idea, a humorous gesture by the member of the Civic Democratic Party originally founded by Mr. Klaus. The Czech news agency reported that the new pen manufactured in the Czech Republic cost 12,000 crowns. More than 1,250 churches and other ecclesiastical buildings are open to the public on Friday night as part of the annual Church Night. Organizers say the aim is to bring people closer to Christianity through interviews, music, art, and a nighttime experience. In Prague alone, 222 churches will be taking part in the event. Organizers on Friday also marked International Children's Day, with events beginning at 12 noon. In sport, Czech tennis player Tomáš Berdy survived a tough five-setter on Friday against South Africa's Kurt Anderson at Roland Garros. The seventh seed won the opening set but lost the next two before fighting his way back into the match. Berdy won the deciding set 6-4. Anderson was seeded 31st in the tournament. The second-round win means that Berdych will face either Juan Martín del Potro of Argentina or Croatia's Marin Cilic next. Finally, a quick look at the weather. Partly clear skies are expected on Saturday, with daytime temperatures reaching highs of just 16 degrees Celsius. I'm Jan Velinger, and that's the end of the news.
You are listening to Radio Prague, the international service of Czech radio. I'm Daniela Lazarová. Coming up in today's program, the Czech Foreign Minister honors those who have helped promote the good name of the Czech Republic abroad. We'll go to Černín Palace for this year's Gratias Agate Awards. And this being Friday, we'll bring you a roundup of the week's business news. Later on in the arts, Jan Velinger will focus on the art of glassmaking and we'll end the show with a Czech lesson as usual. So do please stay with us. We'll be right back. Czech Foreign Minister Karel Schwarzenberg on Friday presented the 16th annual Gratias Agate Awards in recognition of those who promote the good name of the Czech Republic abroad. This year's 12 laureates of the prize include former figure skating champion Aja Vrzaňová, UK-based architect Eva Jiříčná, composer Antonín Tučapský and others. Jan Richter went to the award ceremony and has this report.
The annual Gratias Agate Awards were presented in the Great Hall of the Černín Palace to 12 people, Czech expats as well as foreigners, who in their countries work to develop ties with the Czech Republic and promote the country's reputation. Foreign Minister Karel Schwarzenberg said many of the personalities never turned their back on their native country, even in the difficult times of communism, when Czechoslovakia did not have a good name abroad. Aja Vrzáňová-Steindl left Czechoslovakia in 1950 after winning two world figure skating championships. She settled in the United States, where she became involved in the Czech emigre community and has since 2007 served as the chairwoman of the International Coordination Committee of Czechs Abroad.
I'm so thrilled that I lived long enough to receive this and that I deserve it, that they think that I deserve it, and I'm so proud to have received it from the hands of Minister Schwarzenberg. I think so much of him, and it's very touchy and very it's wonderful.
Eva Jiříčná left Czechoslovakia for the United Kingdom after the Soviet invasion in 1968 and has become an internationally renowned architect. Ms. Jiříčná received many awards for her contribution to architecture and design, and in 1994 was appointed a commander of the Order of the British Empire.
Just it makes me feel really elevated, but I would like to say that we have got lots of colleagues in my profession who definitely deserve similar award, much more than I do. This award, I think it comes through because I had the opportunity for 22 years of deep communism to work abroad, and therefore gaining experience, which I think it was useful when Velvet Revolution came. But of course, my colleagues never had this opportunity, so I would like to say that I'm always aware of being the lucky one, and I would really like sincerely to share it with everybody who deserves it more than I do.
The composer, conductor and teacher Antonín Tučapský came to London in 1975 after the communist authorities banned him from all artistic activities. He has written more than 350 compositions and popularized the work of his compatriot Leoš Janáček. Mr. Tučapský held a teaching position at the Trinity College of Music in London for 21 years and says that now he devotes most of his time to composing.
I have a lot of commissions for composition, so I've retired and now devote myself only for composition. Of course, I am still composing, less and slower, no doubt, according to my age, and in fact, I couldn't be without it.
The Gratias Agate Awards were this year also presented to three foreigners, including Nazmi Akiman from Turkey. The former diplomat is now the chair of the Czech-Turkish Business Council and represents the Czech-based car producer Škoda Auto in Turkey.
I am at the board of Yuji Auto, which sells Škoda cars for the 25 years.
Are Škoda popular cars in Turkey?
Well, we have 150,000 cars running around Turkish roads at this moment, and we sold them all.
The awards for promoting the good name of the Czech Republic award were also handed to Jalai Bayruzma Altan Ohrir from Mongolia, Silva Berková de Arredondo from Argentina, Vladimir Blaha from Bosnia and Herzegovina, Jiří Chmel from Austria, Anna Janku from Egypt, Ladislav Pavlík from Germany, and Natalia Tumarec from Ukraine.
Jan Richter reporting from a ceremony in Prague's Černín Palace. Now, moving on, this being Friday, we'll bring you a roundup of the week's business news, for which I'm joined in the studio by Christian Falvey.
The Czech manufacturing sector is at its lowest point in 3 years, according to at least one market assessor. The company Market Economics reports that their purchasing managers' index fell in May to 47.6 points from 49.7 the month before. That would mean the worst deterioration of business conditions since August of 2009. A result of more than 50 on the index entails growth. According to Market Economics, productivity was down in 4 out of 5 sectors on the main index, with only suppliers' delivery times remaining at the same level. The volume of new orders dropped to the lowest rate in nearly 3 years, production was stagnant, and companies were laying off employees. The volume of new export orders went down for the 7th consecutive month, and did so at the fastest rate since July of 2009.
The Czech government approved legislation this week that will do away with anonymous bearer shares. In its current form, the bill requires companies to register bearer shares with a stock exchange or deposit them with banks. Both alternatives will enable law enforcement bodies and those awarding public tenders or subsidies to identify share owners. The bill is part of a broader package of anti-corruption measures approved by the centre-right government. Still, even supporters of the legislation admit that banning bearer shares is only a small step towards transparency. Lawyers note that there are still a number of other ways to obscure the real ownership structure of a company, for instance by establishing a Czech company whose only shareholder would be a foreign firm based in a country where bearer shares are permitted.
The Czech Finance Ministry expects the public finance deficit to drop to 3% of GDP this year from 3.1% in 2011, according to the ministry's fiscal outlook, which was released on Thursday. A deficit of less than 3% GDP is one of the conditions for adopting the euro. Last year, the deficit fell to 3.09% from 4.83% in 2010. These figures show that the fiscal outlook is in line with the plan the cabinet outlined in its updated convergence program from April, sent to the European Commission. The deficit is expected to reach 2.9% GDP in 2013 and 1.9% in 2014, according to the ministry's estimates. Public sector finances should be balanced in 2016.
President Václav Klaus this week signed environmental legislation that will gradually increase emission fees. As per the new act ratified on Tuesday, firms with high levels of emissions will have to pay 4,200 Czech crowns per ton of CO2 emitted. Beginning in 2013, the fee will gradually be increased to 14,700 crowns by 2021. The new law also states that solid fuel boilers must be inspected every 2 years and allows communities to set up low-emission zones where older automobiles will not be permitted. The new regulation will mostly affect large corporations. Industry, transport and chemical associations have opposed the law. Mr. Klaus himself vetoed similar legislation last year.
The Czech Republic's international competitiveness slipped this year, according to the annual index compiled by the International Institute for Management Development. This year, the Swiss Institute puts the country 3 places lower at 33rd place out of 59 countries, just after Kazakhstan. Just like last year, first place on the index was taken by the United States and Hong Kong. The last such list, published by the World Economic Forum last September, also put the Czech Republic down 2 places to 38th place. This marks the 3rd consecutive year that the country has slipped on these lists, which some say indicate systemic problems, among them corruption.
A reminder that you're with Radio Prague, the international service of Czech radio. It's now time for our main feature, which on Fridays is the Arts. And today, Jan Wellinger talks to an expert on glassmaking.
This Friday sees the opening of an exhibition of new work in glass by Czech, Slovak and Austrian artists. The work is going on view at the Horácka Gallery in Nové Město na Moravě, and it was produced at the AGS Glassworks near Žďár nad Sázavou, located in the Czech Moravian Highlands, as part of this year's International Glass Symposium. The original founder of AGS Glassworks is Jaroslav Svoboda. He told me more this week about the importance of symposia, not only for visiting artists, but also for glassworks like his own.
From my experience, and we organized 8 symposia in the past in Škrlovice, and I myself took part in similar projects in Nový Bor or Frauenau, Germany, symposia are important indeed. One of the main benefits is that they challenge ways of thinking and shake up long-established or routine work processes. Craftsmen employed at a glassworks receive original proposals from artists who are not restrained by technical limitations. Creating the final work thus presents a daring problem to overcome, and the experience, I think, is rewarding for both the artist and the craftsman.
A to je hrozně důležité, že se obě strany prostě tímhletím způsobem obohatí.
Commercially, the AGS Glassworks focuses on the production of stylish products that includes everything from vases to lamps, bowls and plates. Creating artistic work, Jaroslav Soboda points out, is something different. Scale, color, texture, use of light and other qualities. There are different challenges which can include blowing or setting or folding unconventionally large pieces of glass in their molten state or working with glass that has been cooled. The Glassworks founder again.
Mimo těch teplých technik, tak jak říkáme, no tak potom jsou techniky, že se prostě...
In the cold state alone, there are many options in producing the final work, grinding, cutting and polishing the glass. A diamond saw is used to cut away pieces, and you work towards the final work not unlike a sculptor, not with a hammer and chisel, but with saws and grinders and other tools.
According to Jaroslav Svoboda, this year's symposium saw a number of pieces proposed that proved original, unconventional and exciting.
One of the Czech-Austrian artists taking part had the idea to inscribe words into tableau pieces, which were then sealed with molten glass. I have to say, I had never seen anything like it. Not all of the pieces came out quite as intended. The technique was quite demanding, but the result is very interesting.
To všechno jako nepodařilo, protože to je velmi složitá technika, tak ale je velmi zajímavá, velmi zajímavé věci vznikly.
Another idea was to use plaster casts as molds for larger pieces of glass.
Dvě výtvarnice tady dělali do velkých sádrových forem.
Two artists who took part used plaster casts, and we were a bit worried about that. It's different than blowing glass into wooden forms, but it turned out really well. Even when they were big, heavy pieces of up to 12 kilos, it worked. The pieces of one of the works together form a female figure in cobalt blue.
12 kilo a bude se z toho sestavovat taková jakoby ležící figura.
The glass sculpture of the female in repose was created by artist Monika Vosiková, who discussed details with local broadcaster TVV, or TV Vysočina, a clip of which was posted on YouTube.
Já jsem se chtěla dostat do většího rozměru, ale protože nelze v podstatě...
I wanted to create a bigger piece, but because it's not possible to use a blowpipe to create a meter-large object, I decided to make the lying woman out of several segments that were later positioned together. I decided to call the piece Siesta.
Kompozičně jako ležící postava. No to bude jako asi siesta se jmenovat.
All of the artists who took part in the International Glass Symposium in Vysočina, unlike a similar project held earlier this year by the Becher Gallery in Karlovy Vary, have experience in working in glass, and so, says Jaroslav Svoboda, little compromise was necessary.
Všichni mají sklářské vzdělání a všichni se nějakým způsobem, i když jsou třeba zaměstnáni.
Everyone who took part has training and has had long experience in glass and is a professional. Many of course make a living, for example, by teaching, because it's difficult to make a living solely from one's artwork. But glass for them is a priority, and I have to say throughout the week that we worked together, things went very well. I was a little worried about how some things would come together, but we came up with methods never before used in our glassworks to create new work, and I think our craftsmen did an admirable job.
Já si myslím, že naši skláři prostě odvedli vynikající kus práce i s novými přístupy.
The results now go on view at the Horácká Gallery.
Objekty připravujeme právě horečně, na tom pracujeme, pracovali jsme.
We worked around the clock and all last weekend to prepare the pieces for everything to be installed by Friday. The vernissage will begin at 6 p.m.
Bude v podvečer zahájena výstava.
And if you'd like more information about the exhibition or the Vysočina symposium that helped create these new works in glass, you can follow the links at our website, radio.cz.
That edition of The Arts by Jan Wellinger. And now in the final part of today's program, a Czech lesson from Pavla Horáková's popular ABC series, which Radio Prague is currently rebroadcasting.
Welcome to our Czech language course, in which we look at words and expressions related to Czech food and cuisine. Today I'm joined by
Martin Mikule.
First of all, I must warn you that today's lesson is not suitable for vegetarians. The reason is that today we take part in a traditional Czech pig slaughtering feast. Those are held just before the beginning of Lent in villages around the country, and it's time of family get-togethers and celebration. The Czech word for the event is
zabíjačka.
In the word, you can hear the root
zabít,
or to kill. The interesting thing is that nothing of the pig gets wasted. Every bit can be used to make something edible. Apart from the meat, which can be cooked in many different ways, roasted on a spit, boiled in water, or fried in breadcrumbs, there are many other pork specialties that are prepared almost exclusively during a pig slaughtering feast.
Zabíjačka.
Let's start with the sausages. Perhaps the favorite are
jitrnice.
They are the size of a smaller banana and grayish in color. To make them, you need the pig's head, brisket, liver, lungs, and other entrails, pork stock, bread, onions, garlic, marjoram, pepper, and other seasoning. Everything is cooked, minced, and pressed into casings made from clean guts. I think I would be much happier without all that information. Nevertheless, this particular type of sausage,
jitrnice,
tastes very nice, usually served with sauerkraut and boiled potatoes. The other traditional sausage is called
jelito.
It is bigger than jitrnice and has a dark brown color. You need pretty much the same ingredients in terms of meat, and on top of that, boiled peeled barley and a bucket of pork blood. Yes, you heard me well. It's actually quite similar to black pudding. Another delicacy is
tlačenka.
It could be compared to Scottish haggis, only it's made from pork meat. You need both fat and lean meat, the trotters, the heart, tongue and liver, the skin and seasoning. All is boiled, some parts are cut into small pieces and others minced, and everything is then stuffed into a cleaned pork stomach, which is again boiled for another 3 hours. It is served sliced and tastes great with fresh onions, vinegar and pepper. Another traditional dish is
ovar.
That's basically a pork head or knee boiled in water that's served with horseradish or mustard and bread. The water in which you boil the meat together with seasoning, garlic and onions makes a nice soup. Just add peeled barley and that's it. There's also a dark variety of the soup.
Zabíjačková polévka.
You just add pork blood and boil again. And we could go on and on, as there are many more traditional pork dishes served at a
zabíjačka.
Next time, I promise we will be looking at something much lighter and healthier. Till then,
dobrou chuť.
Bon appétit.
Pavla Horáková with that edition of ABC Radio Prague's Czech language series, and I'm afraid it's brought us to the end of today's program. You'll find us on the web at www.radio.cz, where you'll find all our programs in text and sound, as well as a lot of interesting information about the Czech Republic. It's an easy address to remember, www.radio.cz, so do take the time to check it out. Should you like to write to us, then our email address is english@radio.cz. We'll be glad to hear from you as always. This is Daniela Lazarová saying thanks for joining us today and have a good weekend.